sir. We're in Exodus chapter 14 this morning. Exodus chapter 14. 23-year-old Jesus Garcia had gotten a job as a brakeman on the railroad. On November 7th, 1907, he was resting during a stop in a little place called Nacozoria, a town in Sonora in Mexico. Some of his co-workers told him about one of the cars was on fire. The roof of one of the train cars was on fire. Normally that would be a problem, but it was a special problem because they were carrying a load of dynamite to a nearby mine. So Jesus understood that somebody had to do something. Everybody was screaming and running this way and that way. He jumped into the engine of that train and began to back it out down into a wilderness valley. 4 miles down the track, the thing let loose and exploded. Although 13 people were killed, he had saved a number of lives from the town where that train had been parked. The only thing left of Jesus Garcia was one boot. That's all they found. But all over Mexico from that time on, there were memorials set up in his honor, and they remembered this young hero, only 23 years old, and willing to sacrifice his life in order for others to be safe. All of us are the product of heroes. People have suffered, have sacrificed so that we could be whole. We've been through some stuff in our life. Maybe somebody pulled you out of the water when you were drowning. Maybe somebody donated blood and you needed a transfusion of some kind. Somebody stopped you before you got to somewhere dangerous. I know my wife twice had stopped my son before he ran out into traffic. He would just, and be on his way. Life is full of heroes. And think about Memorial Day and the people who have fought battles, who have died and given their lives so that we could maintain our freedom. We are the product of heroes. None greater than God himself. God is the hero of us all. And today's faith fact is God saves me. God saves me. Jesus gave his life for us, and every day God is watching over us to help us with everything we need for life and godliness. God saves me. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Father, help us to absorb what you're saying here. Not just the victory that comes, but actually the confusion and fear before the victory get here. Sometimes we get ourselves in a pickle. Sometimes the pickle comes to us through no fault of our own. But God is with us nonetheless. Help us to have faith today to face the armies, the giants, the challenges that we face in our lives. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know the story, the people of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. They were severely oppressed by their Egyptian taskmasters, even to the point where there was an edict that went out for a time they had to toss all their baby boys into the Nile River. Take your child and see them drown to death. It got harsher. It got harder until finally God called Moses, who was living elsewhere at the time, and say, go deliver my people from from Egypt. And of course, Moses objected, I send somebody. No, you the man, you go and do that. From the time that Moses showed up at Pharaoh's doorstep and said, let my people go, until they actually marched out of Egypt, it's estimated between 4 and 12 months. For an extended period of stress, distress, anxiety, difficulty, people angry at other people, disasters happening all around. How many like the kind of trial that lasts like, you know, an hour? Whew, boy, glad that's over with. But this went on day after day, week after week for months. And the people of Israel were subject to the first several plagues. Water turned to blood. There was nothing to drink. And then frogs invaded the entire land. There were frogs everywhere. And then gnats. Oh, I hate gnats. Gnats just seem to love every crevice in your body. In the ear, up the nose, in the eyeball. I hate gnats. It was nasty for the Israelites as well as the Egyptians, these first three plagues. Sometimes the hardest thing to do in all your life is to endure your miracle. But God was sending them a miracle. But something happened after the third plague. The plagues only started affecting the Egyptians and not the Israelites. There was a difference in the land. Even when it got pitch black dark over all of Egypt, where the Israelites lived, it was still light. Almost wonder if when Moses and Aaron walked to see Pharaoh, if they didn't have these light beams themselves. They were all lit up wherever they went. It didn't affect the Israelites, but it still kind of affected them. All of the livestock and such were being affected among the Egyptians, and that would have a trickle-down effect on the slaves that were taking care of everything throughout the nation. So for all this time, there was a lot of stress. There were a lot of difficult things that were going on. And then the Israelites themselves, although they were slaves, they still lived in houses. They had a pretty much civilized life. But now that they've been released from slavery, they become nomads. They've gone from living in houses to living in tents. They've gone from having supplies of food where, you know, they could go to their local Walmart, whatever it was called in hieroglyphics, and get whatever supplies they needed. Now, they had enough food for the next several days. Remember, they took that dough along with them that they could bake for a little while, but how much food could you carry? And they had weeks to go until they were going to end up somewhere. My point being, I think it would have been nice for them to have a little bit of R&R. This has been a traumatic last year. It had been so hard to be a slave, and then the plagues hit, and now they're released from that, and they're learning how to be nomads and all of that. Wouldn't it be nice if they just found themselves a spacious oasis and put their feet up for a while, and whew, that was traumatic. And then they send counselors throughout the group and talk about the experience that you've had and how life. But life just kept pushing them forward, and there was one challenge after another that they had to meet. And one of the first ones was, God said, well, I want you folk to kind of walk around like you're lost. I just want you to look like you're confused. For how many would that really not be much of a challenge? You know, I can get that. Just look confused. Okay, we got that down. And because Pharaoh's going to think they're just lost. They're no good out there. We can go get them back. And that's exactly what happened. Can you believe that God would allow his people to walk around in confusion for a while? Because that was part of his plan for a great deliverance. Maybe you're like me. When I'm confused, I don't feel like I'm in God's will. When I'm cloudy over what's supposed to happen next, I feel a little desperate. Because I think that if I'm in good communication with God, I'm always in control. I know what's going to happen next. I know what I should do. And it's all clear sailing. Has anybody ever lived a life like that? Nobody I know. There's always these conundrums that come. There's always these crossroads. There's always these decisions that need to be made, one right after another. And we're always asking this question, why me? What did I do to deserve this? Well, I hadn't done anything to deserve just walking around, but God had a plan. In fact, God even clued them in. He said, I'm going to get great glory out of this. It's going to be great. You just wait and watch. Yeah, but what's going to happen? How's it going to happen? Well, just trust me. Just trust me. Have you ever had somebody say that to you and you're going, I know your track record. Well, they had a track record with God, right? They had these 10 plagues that took place. God had done everything he said he was going to do. And one of the things that God is trying to do is not just destroy their enemy, but build their faith. And the one message he really wants to get across to them is, God saves me. Not just somebody else and doesn't just, but God saves, he's on my side. If God be for us, who could be against us? And the Lord will keep his word to each and every one of us. God saves me. That's who he is. That's what he does. It's his nature. He cannot not help his own. He loves us, and he's always Johnny on the spot. Well, the Israelites didn't get very far outside of Egypt until the Egyptians woke up, and they said, what do we do? Oh, man. They rang the bell for their slave to come, and there were no slaves left. Oh, man, I'm going to have to make my own coffee this morning. Dude, I got to go to the well to get the water to make my own coffee this morning. And, who's going to clean the barn? I got to clean the barn. I don't like this no slave stuff. They said Alexa, and there was no Alexa. Nothing worked anymore. They said, we need to get our slaves back. Said, well, how are we going to do that? Well, maybe we could negotiate. We'll give them a better contract. You know what? We'll give you straw for making bricks from now on. Well, no, that's not what they decided. They said, we're going to track them down. We're going to drag them back. You don't know what? No matter what it takes, we're getting them back here. And I'm sure their plan included something like, we're going to find those leaders, Moses and Aaron, and we're going to behead them right in front of everybody else. We're going to scare the people back to Egypt, and they're going to be glad to be back here, and then we're going to make it harder than ever before. And so they got their army. They got everything put back together, and they went after them. Now, Israel had marched out of Egypt bold. They were looking forward to the freedom that was going to be theirs. In fact, God told them, stop by the Egyptians' houses. You ladies that worked as their maids and you guys that worked as their servants, anything that you ever saw that you liked, ask them if you could have it. And the Egyptians were so happy to see the Israelites leaving because the plagues had so devastated their land. They gave them whatever they wanted. Gold and silver and all these things, and they're all laden with them. And so one minute they're walking out of Egypt boldly laden with gold and silver. And the next, they're being pursued by the largest army on the face of the earth at the time. And they're coming in hot and they're coming in angry. And they want to send them back to the brickyard. And they want them working like they had worked before. And when they look up and they see the Egyptians coming, they don't see a small contingent coming to negotiate a new contract or anything. Here comes the army. And oh my, what are they? They were bold a moment ago when they had this gold and silver and they're all counting and everything. But now when they see the enemy coming, they're melting. They're afraid. And, you know, we talk about being hangry. That's when you're angry because you're hungry and you're not quite right. Well, these people were fearful when they saw the enemy. What would you call that? We'll have to come up with a word for that. So many of us are very good Christians and we're filled with faith as long as everything's going well. But when we see trouble, we have a meltdown. And then we justify our meltdown. And we tell everybody, you know what I'm going through? This is terrible. This is miserable. I'd be afraid of that too. And we justify each other's fears. But faith doesn't mean anything if it doesn't have an object. If you have faith and everything's going smooth, you don't really have faith. You just have a thermometer. Everything's fine. That's good. Hallelujah. Faith kicks in. That's your thermostat. It changes the temperature when things get rough. And if every time things get rough, we have a royal meltdown, our faith is not growing. How many are still alive this morning? You've been through some stuff, but you're still here. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He's true to his word. And we should learn from all that. The Israelites had witnessed God's power firsthand. God said there'd be frogs. Oh, my heart, there were frogs. God said that there would be gnats. Oh, my goodness, what the gnats were worse than... God said the gnats are going away. The gnats were gone. God was doing these. And then, that last plague, when all the firstborn of the Egyptians died and all the firstborn of Israel were kept alive because they obeyed the Lord. You think if nothing else, while they're out in the dead, they could just hold their firstborn a little closer and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You'd think they would have learned something. You can't expect to see bouts of God's power without being expected to grow a little faith. God didn't deliver you just so you'd be delivered, so that you could get all afraid all over again and have another meltdown. God delivers you, delivers you, delivers you. Have you ever noticed that trials tend to get worse with time? You get stronger, and oh boy, all our troubles behind us. What? What just happened? This is, oh man. Because God's expecting your faith to have grown in proportion. All 10 of those plagues were to build Israel's faith, build Israel's faith, build Israel's faith, so that by the time he's got them walking in a circle out there and here comes the army, they're supposed to go, yeah, 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 you can't get me because God's on our side. See that cloud up there? Woohoo, you're in trouble. That's, honestly, shouldn't that be their attitude by now? But we can't really condemn them, can we? Because we see a mouse and we're up on a chair. You know? They had an army coming after them. And we say, oh my, oh my. Build your faith. Expect more out of yourself. And when you lose it, apologize to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You are faithful, and I had a meltdown, and that's unbecoming the God I serve. I remember there was a couple, they took their granddaughter to the mall, and the granddaughter didn't like the store that they were in. She broke loose and ran off into another store, and so they were looking for their granddaughter for a while. And when Grandpa was the one that finally found her, when he took her hand, she screamed out, help me, I'm being abducted, help, help. And I mean, you can imagine being Grandpa, and he just was freaked. Well, they got it all straightened out, but he refused ever again to take her anywhere. How many can understand that? You know, don't act like God doesn't care about you. Oh, help, I'm being abducted, I'm abandoned, I'm all alone, I can't get through this, I'll never be able. God must be so embarrassed in heaven. There's his children, they're all running around just freaking out and stressed and everything, like he never did anything for us before. So God says, what are you complaining about? Lift up your staff there, Moses. And sure enough, the ocean opens up in front of them. Who would have thought that that's what God was going to do? That had never happened before. How many know that God has not exhausted his bag of tricks yet? He can do what no other power can do. And I believe in chapter verse, you know, promises, and I'll remind God of his promises. But every once in a while, I like to pray outside the box. And even though it's never been done before and I can't find a link to it in scriptures, well, you did this, you did that, well, how about do this again? I know God loves to do things he's never done before. And so I just trust him. Lord, you're going to do this, and we trust you. How do I know? Because God saves me. I don't know why God saves me. I just know that he does. And he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And he hasn't. He's got a great track record with me. God saves me. It's who he is, and it's what he does. He can't help himself. He saves me. He watches over me. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Would you stand with me this morning? This chorus, yes, I will. Sing for joy in the lowest valley. We're telling God, I'm not going to be that spoiled brat any longer. I'm not going to fall to pieces next time. I'm going to square my shoulders. I'm going to the next trial that comes my way. Or at least I'm going to try. I want to get better at this surfing the waves than ever before. Yes, I will.
We had a slight change in the closing song, Pastor, but we're going to give thanks to the Lord for everything that he has done, for all those times that we did freak out and didn't give him credit.
To flip that switch from worry and stress and anxiety to giving thanks. You are faithful and you are good. One of these days we will transition from here to there. And as we look back across our life, we would like to say that we were people of faith, that we trusted in the Lord our God. Things happen in life that I can't explain. Sometimes we're walking around in circles and it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we think you've lost sight of us or we've lost sight of you, but that's not the truth. The truth is you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You never lose count of the hairs on our head. You're a good, good Father. And Lord, we want to start living like you are who you are. And you've treated us the way you have. I understand, God, that praying a prayer like this puts us in line for a few trials. But Lord God, if along with those trials we can grow our faith, it's worth it all. Because it won't shake our timbers. It won't rattle our nerves. But we'll be able to stay in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God while the storm rages. And God, we thank you for that. It's what you want out of us. It's what we need. So Lord, rather than everything we want, have your way in our lives, we pray. And may we respond well. And when we do, affirm us, God. And bring us from strength to strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.